Welcome back to You've Got Documents, a MongoDB Jumpstart. I just love saying that. You've got documents.
It's I usually like, say it like, ooh, got documents.
Yeah, I guess I could go the original toning. You're right. You've got documents. Or you say it so much better than I do, but it's just a little exciting as a title.
Yeah.
So welcome back. This is the third module. In this module, we're going to talk about how different other different queries that you could do with MongoDB. So we're going to continue working in the shell. And we're going to cover things like how to do and or logical operators, as well as how to do comparison, sorting, and a very special operator called the LM match that gives you exact documents that have these exact properties. So without further ado, let's start with a demo. And my partner, Steven, here will show you how to do and or logical operators.
Yep, definitely. So there are a ton of operators that we have in MongoDB. A lot, I can't cover them all in this section, but you have things like past the normal things you think greater than, less than, equal to. You also have like set, which kind of replaces stuff. You also have things like or, you have ands, you have things like LM match, which is that special one, which allows us to have a match within the document and embedded documents.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty powerful stuff and allows us to get that SQL-like thing that you're used to, but without SQL. It's actually just quite different. It gives you a lot of the same equivalencies, but no, obviously no joins. And it's just different. It's kind of cool. And it uses the same query object type of thing, except instead of query with that query object, there'll be it resembles JSON, but it's not exactly. So we'll get into it into detail in just a second. So if you actually look on the MongoDB website, you'll see that all of the actual operators, everything like exist. For example, where you know something might not exist, and you know it's schemaless, right? So something may or may not exist. There's a ton of different operators here that kind of helps with your with whatever application you're doing.
One that I really like a lot is the type operator. So it actually tells you what the type of the data that's inside.
Yep,
this element
tells you the type of the field.
And something that was really interesting that may not be available in other places as well, in other databases, is the geographic support.
Mm-hmm. The geospatial.
So you can do things like, does this location intersect with another location? That's pretty cool stuff.
Near sphere. There's a lot of powerful stuff in here, which is actually pretty neat. And you can use this for large data sets. Even what we'll do is module 5, we'll be using data that actually has geospatial data in it. And it's actually interesting that you could use these operations right within it. So it's actually kind of cool. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump into it. So if we actually pop open our handy dandy console here, so we'll do, for example, let's do Mongo. So we're back into our database. Now, what I noticed from the previous module, I kind of forgot to mention, was, hey, how do you create a new database? If we can switch different databases, like switch show DBs, and I can see that I have a few. I can, for example, use test or use local. So if I want to make a new one, I can just do use again. Instead of switching, I can actually just create it by specifying a new name. So my awesome database and switches to it. Now, what's interesting is that it actually doesn't exist yet. So if you show DBs, it's empty, so there's nothing in there. But if you just do so we use my awesome database, and we could say awesome collection.
Collection, right, okay.
And we just do an insert. And we'll do the inserts with the language drivers,
mm-hmm.
So no worries there. But I can say looks like I got a syntax error here. Use first name, last name, missing something. Bear with me, I'm doing this on the fly. First name.
Yeah, I'll be missing the end.
There we go. Thank you.
Yeah.
Boom. I knew it was a good idea adding in this. Oh, I've still got it. Hold on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you have the brackets, and let's see. I don't think it matters if I have the quotes on here. Oh, shoot. What did I do? Well, we might get back to it, but I'm not... I know I'm missing some syntax here, but anyways, it'll actually show, it'll actually add the new record inside the database, and allows you just to create a new database from there. So the way you create a new database is really just by specifying the new database name. Okay, so now let's just go switch back to test. And I could back and show collections, and I'll see that my bank data. And what I'll do is we'll start to do things like and. We'll just pick and at first. So I think this section is and or, right? So we'll do, for example, if I want to do db.bankdata.find. Remember, all of our queries really, all the read queries that you're looking for will just be find. And then, so it's probably the most common one that you'll use. And we'll say, we'll find and we'll say we want all people with first name. Or let's say, remember we had last name, Smith, and let's say I want the first name to be, I don't remember any valid first names, so I'll just pick James. Close out. So now, if I could look at the count here, see, I have one,
yeah.
Right? So what it's basically saying is that there's no, like, this, right? We can use and if we wanted to, but this implicit, we can implicitly just say it by saying that listing the other field name.
So it always does an and operator if you have multiple field names in there.
Yeah, if you only separate the field names by like just comma. A comma,
yeah.
It's just going to assume that you want an object, you want a document with the last name Smith and the first name James. So this is probably the simplest query object that you'll get, right? So now let me make sure I'm following on track here just to make sure our viewers can look at this. So we'll say, okay, we want James Smith, right? And then let's say that we want to have, so we can get the different elements just like we had before, you know. We have count, so remember that returns a collection. So I can pick any one of these, 13, doesn't really matter. I can see how many, zero. Pick the zeroth one and I'll see that it's James. So we'll continue. So now let's see that we want the entire counts array. So one of the things is we can ask these different types of questions that we want to see. Like, for example, one of the things that's interesting is, what if we want to pick all the people with last name Martinez and last name Smith, right? So that would kind of require or query.
So we want all of those folks.
Yep, exactly. Okay. So we can't just do what we did before because the actual query language is JavaScript. So we can't just say or in here, right? So there's a way to do it using these dollar signs mean it's an alias to the operator. So we'll do or, and we'll say, okay, well, I'm gonna do find and I'll do or on first name, Smith, and last name. Actually, last name Smith and last name Martinez. And we'll make sure this is last name as well. And now what we'll see is that we'll get all the records in the database with Smith and Martinez.
Right at the beginning of the OR symbol.
There we go. Thank you. And so now we need an array. That was my fault. So each one of these is its own object. So that's one query object. We have another query object here. And within itself, we have an array.
Okay.
Make sense? So now we get our result. So now what we'll see is that the count should be the sum of Martinez, and so it should be 200. And so what I can do too is, so we can print out, so we'll say say we only want to keep first and last names. So I'll combine this with the projection that we did earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So the projection just means, hey, I want to keep only these fields. So first name one, last name one. See out of that, that just means it's continuing. So, apologize for that. So we keep this first name one, last name one. Close out that object, close out this. So what's handy is make sure, especially when you're doing something a little bit more complicated, you wanna use these matchers.
Yeah.
So now we'll see that we have that. So now we'll see that all the last names, for example, just to confirm what we saw, we'll see that we have Smith, 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 and you see, well, wait a minute, how do I know that's right? So you could just do it more, and it'll by default give you a certain amount. And then what we can say is, we'll say that, hey, what if I want to sort this? So what if I want to say, I want to sort by a certain field?
Okay.
Then we could do that too. So
I wanted to sort the first name by alphabetical order.
Yeah. So if you want to do that for alphabetical, and then we can confirm that we're seeing Martinez's, right? Mm-hmm. Since there's 200 elements. Before we have a count, right? So remember that the find returns us the collection, and I could do the same these same commands on just the bank data collection itself. It's just not queried, right? So I take that queried result, and I'll do sort, and so it actually takes another query object, similar to query object. Actually, it looks more like a projection. So I'll say I want first name, and this will give me the first name alphabetically. So if I did one, I believe if I do -1, it'll do the other way. So first we'll do one. So we'll see that now we start with Aaron, Adam, Alan, and we'll see that we have Smith and Martinez, because mm-hmm. those are the ones that we added, right? So it's kind of like the intersection between those two things.
And if I wanted to do a second sort, let's say, because right now it's showing Smith first and then Martinez, but if I wanted to also have it sorted the last names in alphabetical order as well, what can I do?
Yeah, definitely. So we could do that. We'll say sort by first name one, and we'll say last name one. So now we'll say that, hey, we have Aaron, Martinez, Smith. So we kind of take into account of those last names as well. So it could do this a variety of fields, and you could also do it with numbers as well. Numbers will just be either increasing or decreasing. We could also do something pretty fun. We'll do -1. So -1 means in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
So
one is ascending, and then -1 is descending.
Yeah, it's actually kind of strange. I think I've noticed that if I do one for numbers, it's descending. Mm-hmm. Which makes sense, I guess. And then alphabetically, it's descending, starting from A, going down.
And by default, it's one. One is the expected.
One is the hey, start from descending, and then -1 is ascending.
Okay.
Which is, you would think, be the opposite. I don't know. It just depends on how you look at it. Like, what's the bottom of the stack? What's the top of the stack? Right. It's
exactly.
The same thing. So and we could do that. So it's pretty simple, and it's really handy that we could do these functions afterwards. Okay. So let's do something more interesting. So I think there's one I have where we can try to find so I did or, let me make sure I'm not doing anything, skipping anything crazy. Okay, so we'll do greater than, less than, not equal to. So let's try to find the richest person in the bank.
Okay.
That's fun, right? Okay. So how do we go about doing that? So we got DB bank data. Let's see if everything uploaded. Let's see if the upload's complete. 50,000, so we're good. So now we'll say DB bank data, we'll say find. And I want to find, I want to do by account balance, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to find people with really big account balances. So I can do the greater than. So I could do account. So now if you want to query by embedded documents, because it's JavaScript, and this, you know, this is a little different in C#, sure, but you use the quotations around the field name rather than just the raw name.
Yep.
Remember JavaScript lets us have the flexibility between the two. So if I can do accounts dot account balance.
So when you put the dot in, that's when you're going into the embedded document.
Mm-hmm. And this could go on and on and on. So I can do another, you know, if the account has another thing inside it, mm-hmm. I can do that as well.
So the find queries and the sorting queries, they all work with embedded documents as well.
They do work with embedded documents, yeah. So we just have to do, you just have to make sure you specify, hey, I want the accounts embedded thing afterwards.
So if you wanted to, you can even go bankdata.sort and then sort by the account balance.
The account balance that matches what you're looking for. So it's a little tricky. Because you have multiple things in there, you don't want to just do by account balance because that's not going to, it'll pick, essentially picks the first one that matches and goes down by that way. We'll show that, I'll show that toward the end of this module. So so first, let's say I want to find the accounts by account balance. And I'll say, hey, I want this account balance to be greater than, I believe, like this. Let me double check I'm not screwing up the syntax. Greater than, excuse me. Yeah, so account balance, let's say greater than, what do we want to do? I'll start with 9 million. We just look at the count. We'll see, okay, well, we have over almost 20,000 people with that account balance.
That's a lot of rich people.
That's a lot of rich people, but now, now, Rami, remember that these accounts, right? They have different currencies,
right?
So, if I pick even the richest person, so I could even keep going up, I could say, well, I'm going to pick 9,900,000, right? And I can get the count on that. I could see that the number's going down, but it's not necessarily fair, right? Like you can't compare pounds to euros or pounds to pesos, right? So what we can do is we can say, well, why don't we want to pick the one with, pick an account, someone who holds an account with, let's say US dollars, but with the largest amount of US dollars in their account. So the richest person by US dollars, right? So we'll say, okay, well, we can query by that. We'll say, we'll combine that with the and. So we'll say, okay, well, I want account balance greater than that, and I want, accounts dot account, excuse me.
It's currency.
Currency, yeah, thank you. It's USD. So now we'll say, okay, well, now we have people with the, now what it appears anyways is that we're getting accounts with account balance greater than that, 9,900,000, and that's also an account with a currency of USD. Now, Rami, there's a bit of a problem. I'd see if I could find it in one of these examples here. So I'm looking for someone with a USD account greater than 9,900,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this guy's USD account bigger than 9,900,000, so he's fine. Let's see if I could find another one that breaks the, let's see. So do you see anything interesting about this data? So if we look, you'll see that we're looking for everybody in this query should be having an account with a USD account with $9,900,000 or more.
In USD.
In USD.
Yeah.
This guy has a USD account, but it's only 9,200,000.
He does, though, have a 9,900,000 account, but in pounds sterling.
In pounds sterling. So now, unintuitively, you wouldn't think that this, you would think that that's what this is doing. But in actuality, what this query means is that I want a document that has account balance 9,900,000, and I want that same document to have an account with the currency USD. So that means that this is valid because we're querying against the entire document. You always have to remember that we're querying against the entire document.
So anyone who has a US dollar account and then any other account that has over 9,900,000 will get included in the results.
Exactly. And that's not exactly what we're looking for, right? We're looking for the richest person in the bank. So then how do we do that? Well, we can use this LMatch property, which allows us to match within the embedded document, so within this accounts embedded document here, that'll give us just that one, where we just want to match just the right one, right? So we can do that by saying, okay, well, I want account balance to have an LMatch I'm doing this live, so we'll see if I don't screw this up. So now we'll have accounts here with the LMAT operator, and we'll can these because we don't need to say it's accounts because we're already doing a LMAT with
them. So it'll keep the context of the document. So if you're doing an LMatch against a subdocument or an array of subdocuments in your document, you don't need to put that extra.
You don't need to put that extra bit because you're already seeing your accounts. And what this kind of allows us to do, it kind of allows us to do queries as if that was inside that embedded document is its a first class document.
So as if like you're querying inside a query.
Exactly. Inception. Inception. will. So we'll do so we do account balance and we'll say okay, well, we want the account balance to be greater than that. We'll have the currency instead of the currency being USD or accounts currency. We'll just pick currency. Mm-hmm. And now we'll let's see if we close this guy up. The syntax can get just a little hairy here. Close this out. I was hoping that wouldn't happen. Let's see. See if I don't see anything.
Right after LM match. There's an extra one in there.
An extra, no. Yeah.
Well, I think you might need to wrap it with.
Yeah, you're right. My fault. So go ahead and do this. So we have that, we have this one, we have that one. There we go. So now we'll look. So we'll see what is the count on this one. So it's 445. Previously the count was not that one, but this one, where we thought that we're getting both of them. Mm-hmm. We're getting invalid data, right? This is not, that was actually not accurate. Yeah. So now when we say we want the amount of people with $9 million USD accounts, 445, right? So let's go ahead and pick just a random person. I'll pick the 400th person here. We'll see that we have an investment account that's USD that's greater than 9,900,000. And we can say, well, maybe that's the coincidence. So we'll pick 405. We'll see that we have a savings account with USD. And we could do the same thing. We could say, well, maybe I just want to have just cash accounts. Right, because you know maybe it's liquid. So we just do the same thing. We add another and within that LMatch. So it's kind of like we're doing a query within that. So we'll say, well, let's see,
account type.
Accounts, yeah, thanks. Account type. And we'll say not investment. We'll say checking. And we'll say account on that. 119 people now. So only 119 people have 9,900,000. So we could keep going and see, well, who's the richest person in this account? So now we have like we have something valid, right? We could say, well, the biggest person with the with that USD account. So 9 million. Let's just add another 9 just for fun. We'll see that we have 11. Keep going.
So now if I wanted to sort all this stuff, all the results, into who has the most money in one of these accounts.
You can sort it by that as well. So let's do that in a sec. Let me see if I could find this guy. He's hiding. Let's see. 9,900,000. 9, and we'll say 900. This guy's hard to find. Let me do one more. If not, we'll just do a sort. Okay, we'll just sort him. It's easy to, right?
A lot of people have a lot of money.
Yeah, I know. All right. I was pretty generous when I wrote this tool. Okay, so we'll do sort and we'll say by accounts. Well, first, what we can do too, Rami, before I do that, we can do a projection. Mm-hmm. So we can do a projection just on, so before, remember where we looked, we saw, okay, well, I have all this stuff, but maybe you just want the matching thing that you just queried against. So instead, we'll just do, we'll add a projection object here, and we'll say that we want accounts $1. So that means that the query that I did against the sub, the embedded document, I want that. That's what I want.
So you're only going to get these embedded documents there.
the embedded document that matches and the first one that matches. Mm-hmm. Only the first one. So you get that, and we'll see that if I pick number 12, I'll get a checking account. So all of these are guaranteed checking accounts that are greater than 9,900,000. So now we can do sort. I can say, okay, well, I got that. Now let me sort by the richest person. So we'll say accounts.account balance.
So once you're outside of the original find command, you have to re-put that context in.
Well, so now since I'm outside the original find, when I get that return, I'm getting a collection back.
Right.
Everything is really a document collection. Mm-hmm. No matter how you cut it, bank data, it's just a really giant document collection. And you start to do subsets, because that's what you do when you're querying. You're looking for some specific piece of information, right? So we kind of trim that down. And we'll see that in advanced data processing too, where we take collection, and each thing we take and we manipulate that collection after we've gotten it. So we start with the original one, we query it, we get another collection, we can even query against that collection to do something else. So that's kind of like the base like concept in Mongo, where we just deal with these collection of objects.
So you can even split this find statement into several find statements.
You can do that as well. Actually, I'm not sure if you could do it in the console. I know in advanced data processing, we will take a collection and manipulate across. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm going to try that, because I actually haven't tried that right from the command line. But we'll do that after we get this sorting. So let's see here. Do that, and so now we'll sort by account balance. We'll see that 9,900,000, and then we go 9,901,000. So we're ascending here to 9,100,000. So remember when I said that it's kind of weird that I pick one, now it's ascending. So it's kind of ascending with that number. So if you want to do descending, you just do that. And so now we descend from the largest account balance down, down. Down.
You scroll up too.
Oh, I went too high up. Yeah, I was wondering why I was doing that. Okay. So we can do it for greater than or less than, or for ascending or descending. And we can do the same thing if you wanted less than. You could just pick the poorest by just switching the GT to LT. And there's also LTE as well, just to do.
So this is less than and equal.
Less than or equal to as well. So they're operator aliases. They're exactly what you would have had. It's just because the way that we query with the object notation, that just doesn't support having like the actual word and or whatever like that. So we could do like less than, we could say, okay, well, who's the least person? We can just say, well, you know, less than $5,000. And we'll see that we have a couple, and what's the count there? We'll see that we have two people that have really, really, you know, dry checking accounts. We'll see that, well, that's the checking out there. And then the cool part is that, remember that when we're querying against this, remember how in the original module one, we said, well, what if I want to query by the account and find that account holder? So I asked a pretty complicated question. I said, well, who's the richest person? Who's the poorest person? Poor sounds, who has the least amount of money in their checking account, right? And I'll say, okay, well, I want that account. Now, I can, by getting that account, by association, I can get that username and that name. And we just simply do that by using the same thing that we did before, where we have, instead of just checking, we'll have and the projection object. So now we want the accounts. We'll also say, well, I want the first name of this person. And I want the last name of that person too.
So you modify the projection to add those missing properties.
Yeah, natively that data was still bound together. Mm-hmm. It's just the fact that I didn't want it means that I just, you know, I want to omit that, which is great when you have like, you want a person, but you don't want their accounts. And in this case, I had a question about a certain account and I can get that associated data by just saying, hey, just give me that instead of just omitting it. And now we got great answers. This is like very similar to what you would want to do. And say that we had tables and we're doing the same operation, except we just did it more efficiently because we already had that information natively, you know, glued together rather than having to glue it through joins of tables. Cool. So now let me see, what was the last name? So now what if we wanted to do people that we want to exclude types of people, right? So we can do that just by looking at that checking account. So for example, remember that when we do ands here, we'll say, okay, well, I want people with currency USD and account type checking. But you might say, well, what if I just want the opposite, right? I want to exclude that field, right?
Yeah, let's say that we don't want anyone with US dollars. We want only international dollars.
Exactly, so we could do that. So, well,
only foreign currency.
Currency here is not equal to USD. So very similar to what we did with less than. These operators kind of operate on, depending on what you have. So for example, you see LMH here takes a object as its operator, mm-hmm. whereas not equal to and less than or equal to, greater than or equal to, those comparison operators take a field. And that's what makes sense for it, right? Whereas like less than or equal to, string field might just be for like alphabeticalness or things like that. That's how you would sort those. So now if I say, I don't want anybody with the currency USD, however, I want them to have a checking account which is greater than 5,000 somethings, 5,000 units of whatever that's not. And we'll say, okay, well, we'll get checking account that's euros, right? For that particular result. But we could also do something where we can say something more reasonable is, well, we want to keep the currency the same, but we want to have consistent currency, but we don't want to have checking accounts. We want to have people with assets. And that's a question you can ask too. And it's very similar. You would just say, well, I want not equal to checking. And if we pick one, we'll see that this guy has an investment account. So it's you can see the how these questions that we can ask, it's pretty easy to just say, well, let's pick and choose the data that we want. And we can just do it within the collection. No joins required. We didn't have to look at any other collections. Everything was just there.
So there's a couple of questions that came up in the chat room. One was, can we not project the object ID? I know that we did that in the past, but as a refresher, what do we need to do?
Sure. So if you look at the projection object, so I know this is kind of getting a little hairy, which is fine. It'll get a little cleaner when we start using the language driver. Mm-hmm. We'll have it in a nice IDE. But when we look at this, for example, so we'll see that we have this object that closed out. And now we see that this is our projection. So the projection basically tells us, hey, what do you want? It's like a bit field, right? So remember, the dollar sign means that whatever you queried against in accounts in your query object, this is what I want you to show. That's the result I want. And then the first name, last name. So now, if I want to omit that this object ID, say that you don't really care. Maybe you're not even using these object IDs. Maybe you have your own IDing that you need, and you're only maybe IDing on first name and last name by unique, and that's it. Mm-hmm. That's fine. You can just say, well, ID 0. So now remember that this doesn't work. So now we don't have it, right? We don't have any ID field here. Now we could look and we could say, well, what if I want to just exclude the last name? Well, remember, it's just what you want, right? So they'll actually just kind of yell at you saying, hey, bad value projection can't have, it's just bad, right? It doesn't want that. Because it knows that it's not going to automatically include it. So it really only, that really just works for the ID field, but I can say, no, I don't want the last name. Now I just got the first name. So pick and choose the data that you want.
And another question that popped up is, as we're doing all of these LM matches and not equal operators, are they case sensitive?
Yeah, so depending on the language driver that you're using, right? So in this, the language driver itself, in the interactive shell, it's going to use like, it's going to be, case sensitive because it's this interface. Mm-hmm. Now, you could supposedly make your own MongoDB language driver that says, well, I'm going to allow you to use all caps or whatever. And note that like other languages have other capitalization, other syntax rules, right, or syntax conventions. So think about Python. Think about JS uses camel casing?
Camel casing.
Whereas C# uses, when you have the first capital? I don't know what
it's called. It's camel casing, I think, but with the first letter capitalized.
There must be a name. It's like normal capitalization or something, like non-camel casing.
Non-camel, yeah.
But long story short, yes, they are, that they are. And I actually wanted to try the find on the find because you got me interested. I think you can. Let's see. There we go. Okay, yeah, object DB query, it gave me, it kicked off an error for that. But it did give me back something. Let's see. Yeah, no method find, so it doesn't work. Yeah, because the reason why is it's a query argument, or it's a query result. It is your collection, but it's not, you can do the methods that you would do on like bank data, but you can't, it's not your raw collection. You can't run another query against it. But what's cool is that what we'll do in module 5 is we will actually query against different collections as kind of like a pipelining process, mm-hmm. which is kind of neat. So we'll see that as well.
And so we've used sort, we've used find. Are there any other functions that we can also use?
There's a few. We can do, for example, we did less than, greater than, equal to. We could also do, we did or already, right?
Yep.
I'm trying to think of something else interesting. We can do...
How about exists?
Oh, we could do exist. Great, thanks. So actually, why don't I do this? Let's insert a new record here. So we'll do db dot bank data, insert. Say first name, Steven. We'll say last name, Edward. Actually, we won't put the last name. I'll just put Steven. And remember that MongoDB gives us this flexibility just to add what we want. So we'll say first name Steven, last name nothing, and then we'll add the accounts array. We'll say that accounts array is just empty. So I have no accounts. So now we get the right result, which is just saying, hey, I can confirm that you did write this, mm-hmm. and you're good. And so now if I look, I could say, well, I'm going to query by first name. So I'll say find where first names is Steven. And we'll pick the first, and we'll say, okay, well, I added Steven, right? But that's no last name. So now what if I want to find the record, the only record that we have without the last name? So it's actually pretty easy to do. We'll just say, well, find where last name. Oh man, I might have forgotten the syntax here. Give me 1 second. I forgot if it's a true or false. Yeah, it is true or false. Okay. Exist. Similar syntax as before. And we'll say, so if you say true, we'll obviously get everybody else. Make sure I got that. Count. 50,000, all right? But the count for the whole array is 50,001. I wonder who that is, right?
Right, it's so, that extra collection that you added.
Yeah, it's the extra document, right?
Document, sorry.
So let's see, false. We'll see that there. And so now, Rami, remember that it's up to you to enforce this. So you can say, if you're using something like Mongoose for MongoDB, or for Node.js, sorry, it would say, well, you need to put a last name on here, right? You can do this language enforcement from your application, but you don't necessarily have to do it the database is not, it's not gonna do it for you. It's not even necessarily, right? So this is how, this gives you a little bit of flexibility, because say that we added another field, mm-hmm. You know, I'm a bank and I say, well, I'm gonna add a perks account, like a perks balance.
Like a rewards balance.
Rewards balance, yeah. Right? But maybe the initial people that joined my bank just didn't have a rewards balance, right? Mm-hmm. And now I want to start it with every new customer that's added. Well, now it's okay if we have a if we have the collection and some people have rewards and some people don't. But in general, the idea is that everything in your collection should be really similar. There's nothing stopping me actually from just doing an insert and doing something ridiculous, right? Like fruit name, apple, and we'll say, apple, and we'll say, well, I want another field like tech company, say Microsoft, right? Got it. Now, if we look, we'll say, well, let me find everything with the, I said first name, sorry. I should have did fruit name. Just to show that it doesn't matter. This could have nothing to do with the bank at all, right? So yeah. I have fruit name, Apple, tech company, Microsoft. Now I'm gonna find all results of the fruit name Apple, where and I'm just gonna get one. Or sorry, did I do something wrong here?
I think you misspelled it when you inserted it.
Oh, did I?
Yeah. The I before
you. Yeah. I do that. Oh, geez. There we go. Okay. I misspell my comments too every so often. There we go. So now I have this, but this is weird, right?
Yeah.
This is something that you would not see in a column SQLite database.
You want to keep your data relatively consistent.
It's up to you to keep it as consistent as you want. But the cool part is that you could really ride your bike with no handlebars here.
Yeah.
You could say, well, now I'm just going to go crazy. I'm going to add whatever I want in this. Collection, and you know, it's not really a good idea, but it gives you that flexibility to start keeping track of other things without having to pay the price of that consistency that you need. So that's kind of the cool parts about it.
Now, there's a philosophical question that came up from the chat room from June. He asks, if you write a query and then you get those ID and then get what you want from the documents that you got back, is that better than writing a longer query to get exactly what you want? Which one do you think is better? Which one do you prefer?
So you're saying going looking by ID and getting what you want?
Yeah. So like using the getting the documents and then using the iterating through the documents, using the IDs to get further information, or writing a longer query with a projection to get only some of the data that you actually really want.
Okay. Well, I think that's that's definitely up to like your application scenario. I think so if you go by ID, so say you found something, you found that ID and you kind of want to drill into that. Remember that when you look at stuff by ID, it's a lot faster because it's indexed. It's like it's natively indexed in there. It's fast. If you say, well, I'm going to query and I'm going to find the thing I want and I'm going to keep querying by those fields within the object, that's fine. It's just remember that it's not as quick as ID. Like ID is the fastest thing you can query by. So remember that the ID is only on the document. So as you keep going, you can add your own IDs to sub-documents if you want, like we did with account ID. But it's not necessarily, it's really just kind of up to your application, if that kind of makes sense. I would just keep in mind that look for the fastest queries that you can. And we could even use Mongo Top just to see how fast the query is compared to another one, just so that you can kind of have that comparison of, well, maybe this is the most efficient way to do it. But really, I would say that kind of that ultimately that's up to your application, the way, how many times you're doing that query too, as opposed to if you're only doing that query once or twice, well, it might make sense to do it in the more convenient way rather than the more performant way.
All right, so that gets us the end of module 3. We are going to take a meal break and we will return in about an hour. And module 4, we're going to talk about how to actually connect to Mongo using languages like C#, like Node.js, and we'll show you some sample code to see how to actually do that. So stay tuned. We'll be back in about an hour. Thank you for tuning in today.